Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والشمس وضحاها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها والليل إذا يغشاها والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما طحاها ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all creation, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again we remind ourselves that it's through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us, that we have been blessed with the honor of sitting in the sanctity of the masjid and learning about the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. We began by reciting the verses of Surah Al-Shams, which is a Makki surah. It was revealed in the time before Hijrah. And generally speaking, the surah, the chapter, consists of three portions or three themes. The first, in the first several verses of the chapter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath on various different creations. The second portion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the soul or the heart and its conditioning and its state. And finally, to consolidate the lessons taught in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings an example of a nation who disobeyed and disbelieved in their Prophet. So to begin with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one hadith is mentioned on one occasion, just for the sake of taking from the barakah of the hadith and a mention of this surah. It is narrated by Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala an, that it seems that on one occasion Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala an, he lengthened the namaz for a period of time that was deemed inappropriate to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala an, la lawla sallayta bisabbih isma rabbika al-a'la wa shamsi wa duhaha wa al-layli idha yaghsha. Why did you not pray with Surah Al-A'la or Surah Al-Shams or Surah Al-Layl? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins and he takes an oath We mentioned previously on several occasions that it is not permissible for any creation to take an oath on anything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take an oath upon the creation, as is done several times upon specifically 7 different oaths are taken in this surah. So firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا I take an oath by the sun. وَالشَّمْسِ by the sun. وَضُحَاهَا Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimullah mentions many of the mufassirin interpreting this ضُحَاهَا as ضَوْءُهَا. The difference, ضُحَا is normally referred to the crack of the morning time. And ضَوْءُهَا means its brightness. So it can be understood together as a brightness as the morning time. So both of these opinions are plausible and fine. Also, one thing that I forgot to mention, in all of these, alongside all of these oaths that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes, the Mufassirin write that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes a condition, a situation which is deemed to be the most consummate of all of their conditions, meaning that their best form. So it is understood that, and the Mufassirin write, that when the sun is rising, and specifically after the sun has somewhat risen already, it rises in such a way that first of all, it looks very close and we are able to view it very clearly as well, because there's no glare. You know how during the day, you can't look directly at the sun because it pains you and it can damage you and it's not good for your vision. However, in the morning, especially in countries where on a day when there's no clouds, after the sunrise, when the sun is rising without the glares, it looks very, very beautiful and everything is very, very clear. The time of the day is also a very nice, it's a very nice atmosphere, it's very cool, everything's very calm and it's very beautiful, and it's considered to be one of the best times of the day, the morning time. So this is what is described alongside the first verse. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to take an oath on the moon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا And by the moon, when it follows it. And by the moon, when it follows it. So, there is the Mufassirin that have written that there are few possible meanings for this. The first meaning is a literal meaning, that it literally follows it. Yani, when the sun sets, the moon follows it. So you see the moon. And the Mufassirin write that this tends to happen towards the middle of the month. The middle of the lunar month, specifically between the 13th and the 15th of the lunar months, the moon is at its largest and most clear. As we know, the beginning of the month, the moon is very difficult to see. It's been described as a clipped fingernail. And it only comes for a few moments sometimes, and then it goes away. This is why we struggle with the time of Eid, and we have all these differences of opinion when it comes to Eid. Yeah, big issue these days. Moving on, don't want to get into all of that. But as the moon, the lunar month goes on, the moon gets bigger and bigger and bigger, to a point that at the very middle of the month, the moon is at its largest and brightest. And in Arabic, this is also described as Badr. Badr. And in Urdu, it's known as Badri Chand. The Badri Chand is normally described as the 13th to 15th days of the lunar month. This is known as the Badri Chand. We also, the very famous couplets by the children, sung by the children of Madinatul Munawwara at the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. at the culmination of the migration to Madinatul Munawwara, the children, when they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and arriving on the horizon, they began to sing Tala'al Badru Alayna, that the moon has risen over us. So they didn't describe just the moon generally, they described the best version of the moon. And in other narrations is mentioned, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in would testify that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed, beloved, beautiful face was even more beautiful and radiant and shiny and beautiful than the full moon. Subhanallah al-Azim, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with being able to one day take a look and meet this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful face. Ameen, 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 ya Rabbal Alameen. Moving on to the second opinion. This is in relation to what was mentioned earlier, that every creation that has been taken an oath upon, along with it has been described in this most beautiful and consummate form. So just like in the first verse, the sun has been described alongside its morning time when it's most clear. The moon has been described alongside its most beautiful time, and that is when it is at its full moon. So it's coming in relation to the previous verse, and also it sort of testifies to what has been mentioned at the beginning of the surah, that everything has been described in this surah along with its most beautiful and perfect form. Imam Malik rahimahullah narrates of Zayd ibn Aslam, who mentions that over here the moon is referring to that of the Laylatul Qadr moon. However, this is not an opinion that is popular amongst the Mufassirin. This is just what Imam Malik rahimahullah has narrated, as has been mentioned by Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah in his tafsir. Moving on to the third creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath upon, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالنَّهَار, and by the day, and by the day, so the third creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam upon is the daytime, إِذَا جَلَّاهَا, when it brightens it. So what is it? What does the day brighten? So there are various different possibilities here. Some of these possibilities are, as the ulama have written, that it could be referring to the night, that the day brightens. By default, everything is in darkness unless there is light to illuminate it. So the day, when it brightens the night, or it can also mean the world, when it brightens the world, or it can also mean when it brightens the earth. But whichever one you choose, all of the meanings are plausible. Another question arises here, that none of these things have been mentioned before. You know, normally when you refer to something for the first time, you refer to it with its name. And then after that, if you want to keep referring to that person or thing, you will say he or she or it. Yeah. But over here, the night has not been mentioned yet. The day, the earth has not been mentioned. The day has been mentioned, but then that's what. But the qasam. So the answer the ulama have mentioned, the Mufti Azam Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Nawarallahu Man Qadahu writes that in Arab tradition, or in Arab dialogue and tradition, it's common that those things that are always around us, they can be referred to without their mention prior. So, for example, the earth, the day, the night, all of these things, the sky, the world, they are with us all the time. Wherever you are, that you are on the earth, the world is around us. So there is actually no need to mention them. This is just something that's common, and as has been testified in the Holy Quran as well. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath on the fourth creation, and that is the night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا, and by the night when it covers it. So again, what is the meaning of it? So again, there can be a few different interpretations. It can mean when the night covers the day, or when the night covers the sun. Regardless, these meanings are all very similar. Okay? So, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا, and by the night when it covers the day. Again, in conformity with what we mentioned before at the very beginning of the chapter, that everything has been described with its most consummate and perfect form. So again, the night will be, the portion of the night that will be referred to here is the portion of the night when it completely covers. So إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا, so as we know, initially when Maghrib time sets in, the sun is gone. So the sun has been covered up, but the effects of the sun are still there. You know, the light that it remains, and slowly as the night goes on, the light slowly goes away. And then a time, normally during the winter time, not so much in the summer time, a time comes during the night when there's absolute darkness. There's not even a little bit of the effect of the sun left. So this is the portion of the night when it covers the sun and it covers the day in totality. Moving on, in the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then takes qasam and he says, وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا, and by the sky and by the heavens and its. So here there are again two different interpretations. One interpretation will mean that the translation is, and by the sky and its creation, and by the earth and its spreading. And the second interpretation will be by the sky and the one. So ma would be in the meaning of man, and it would mean, and by the sky and the one who created it, and by the earth and the one who spread it. Now, there are arguments for both sides, which is the correct meaning. One argument, so for the ulama that say that it's by the sky and its creation, they say that the reason why it is not the one who created it, this would mean that we are taking qasam at Allah here. Yeah, just to explain that. So the ulama who don't take this interpretation, they say that so far in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath on many things that all of them are creation. So this would go against the pattern and the theme of the surah. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suddenly take an oath on himself? And then another argument is that here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the qasam is taken on the creation and then Allah. But Allah is greater. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be muqaddam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be first. So there are various answers for this. One answer is that often moving from low to high is a form of respect as well. And I give the example that often we have programs. And at the beginning of the program, you know, when people are planning it, they say, okay, you know, bring the less famous or those scholars who, or like, you know, those performances which are sort of like younger people or smaller people. And then normally the guest of honor, the epitome or the highest point or the best point of the whole program is when the guest of honor comes. And that normally happens right at the end of the program. So first we'll have all the nazams and all the children doing their thing and maybe a little bit of talk here or there. And then the main guest of honor will come and he'll do his speech right at the end. We don't have it that the guest of honor comes first, he does his speech, and then everyone else comes. So this is, you know how we say, we save the best till the last. So this is also a form of respect. Another example that ulama have given, so this first example, that was just from myself. Yeah, it's not, don't pay too much attention to it. But the second, example is what the ulama have written. And the ulama have written that here the purpose of taking qasam on the earth, on the heavens and the earth, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to call us towards tawheed. And how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do that? First, He draws our attention to something that we can see physically, that is close to us with our own eyes, and something that we can resonate with. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indirectly is saying that look at the sky and look at the earth. Now turn your attention to its creator. There would be a creator for this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the attention to himself. So first, you know how when you want to, you are trying to prove a point. First you bring evidence, and then you explain what the evidence is indicating upon, and you get to your point in the end. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Also another argument is that later on we have the verses فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا, and inshallah I'll mention that when we get there, so that we'll go in order inshallah. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. So the nafs refers to us, yani individuals. It can be referred to the heart or the soul or the person themselves. وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. Again, we have the same argument here. So there will be the both opinions. One interpretation will be, and by the one who proportioned it, and the second interpretation will be its proportioning. Sawaha basically refers to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. Physically, internally, externally. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the creation of mankind by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. The nature designed by Allah, which Allah has created mankind upon. In one hadith, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَا مِن مَوْلُودٍ إِلَّا يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ. And this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everybody upon fitra. Fitra, many have interpreted as nature, as a default state. And then after that, their parents, they turn them into Jews, or they turn them into Christians, or they turn them into fire worshippers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Hadith Qudsi, إني خلقت عبادي حنفاء وإنهم أتتهم الشياطين فاجتالتهم عن دينهم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I created my servants حنفاء, yani upon the right deen and upon the right path. Then what happened? The shayateen, they came to him and they turned him away, they swayed him away from the correct deen. So this is relating to, first of all, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us from a spiritual perspective. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us correctly. And hunafa, we want the correct deen. From a physical perspective, we mentioned before as well in Surah At-Teen, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ, that Allah has created us in the best of forms. And we've gone into detail over there. Then after these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to talk about the soul. Inshallah, we will continue with this in the next week. The reason why I'm going to leave these verses for the next week is because I want to, inshallah, speak a little bit about tazkiyah. about the spiritual cleansing and conditioning of the soul. It's a very, very, very important topic, and it deserves, you know, a good 20 minutes of its own. Obviously, time is short today. So inshallah, we will talk about the next verses, the next few verses inshallah, in the next week if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me life and gives us time and gives us tawfiq. Inshallah, we will continue with this topic next week. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the true knowledge of the Qur'an and the true understanding of the Qur'an and the true understanding of the deen. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the true love of the Qur'an and the true love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the true love of the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He give us tawfiq to recite the Qur'an, to fall in love with the Qur'an, to make the Qur'an our companion so that it will be our companion in the grave and an intercessor on the Day of Judgment in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the Qur'an is an intercessor, shafi'un mushaffa'un, whose intercession is accepted. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection on the Day of Qiyamah. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen, Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen, Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa azwajihi ajma'in. Birahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Subhanallahi wa bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.